This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. A three-day ceasefire between Sudan's warring factions went into effect Tuesday after what the United States called an intense negotiation. Both the Sudanese Armed Forces, the SAF, and the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, publicly pledged to uphold the halt in fighting, though there are already reports of sporadic gunfire in the capital, Khartoum, on Tuesday. The International Committee of the Red Cross Regional Director Patrick Youssef Tuesday welcomed the latest ceasefire with cautious optimism.
It must be implemented, and it has to have an up and a downwards up the command chain of both military entities for that ceasefire to be respected.
In a statement, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the United States will work with the Sudanese, regional, and international partners to help create a committee to oversee the negotiation and implementation of a permanent cessation of fighting in Sudan. Meanwhile, U.N. officials say one side in the Sudan conflict has seized control of a national health lab in the capital, Khartoum, that holds biological material. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The announcement comes as officials warn more refugees could flee Sudan despite a ceasefire between rival forces. The fightings plunge Sudan into chaos, pushing the already heavily aid-dependent African nation to the brink of collapse. Now, Dr. Nima Said Abid, the World Health Organization's representative in Sudan, has expressed concerns that one of the fighting parties, he hasn't identified which one, had seized control of a central public health lab in Khartoum. Abid calls the move an extremely dangerous development. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
For more information on this story and all the stories we're covering, see our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. Almost 3 months after a fiery train derailment, life is in limbo for the people of East Palestine, Ohio. The Associated Press's Ed Donahue reports.
Because of the cleanup, Jeff Drummond is not allowed in his home. Home for him has been the Davis Motel.
I can't do my own cooking. I have to go out and do my own laundry. I have a washer and dryer at home that I can't use. You know, I have nothing here, basically.
People in East Palestine are unsure how or whether to move on from the derailment. Christina Ferguson isn't sure if her family will ever feel safe there again.
What's the next step? Just knock on the door and say, hey, you have to be out tomorrow.
Her 81-year-old mother, Norma Carr, is willing to go back home, but if they can't, that's okay, too.
Pray all the time, and I tell God, you know, whatever you have for me, I can do for you.
Most in East Palestine have returned, but many complain about illnesses and worry about soil, water, and air quality. I'm Ed Donahue.
U.S. President Joe Biden formally announced his bid for re-election Tuesday, and analysts say the president has some issues to overcome. Associated Press correspondent Donna Warder reports.
Right now, President Biden is 80 years old. He'll be 81 on November 20th. William Howell, professor of American politics at the University of Chicago, says that's an issue.
I think that raises large questions about generational issues within the Democratic Party and the opportunities for leadership, but just also in terms of, you know, his health and well-being.
And Howell says there won't be uniform support across the board in the Democratic Party, not right away.
Right now, they're expressing, you know, their interest in some idealized alternative that has yet to be named.
Barbara Perry, University of Virginia Director of Presidential Studies, says Biden should focus on issues where he knows the polls are on his side.
Two-thirds of Americans at least believe that abortion should be legal and safe.
I'm Donna Warder.
Singer, activist, and actor Harry Belafonte has died at the age of 96. A spokesman for the family said Belafonte died Tuesday of congestive heart failure at his home in New York. Belafonte sold millions of records and starred on stage and screen before scaling back his career and becoming a relentless supporter of civil rights and other causes. He explained his motivation to a reporter in 2011.
What is my aim?
Yes.
Justice. It's a universal goal. The people in Cairo want justice. The people in Germany want justice. The people all over the world are asking for justice. And my aim is to work wherever I can to that goal.
From Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.